Chapter 3. Dogs and Leashes. She made it 11 miles before they caught her. A laudable effort, to be sure. She was exhausted by then, bramble scratched and breathless. It was Elena who found her first, the snowhound barking in the night. But Matteo followed, shooting out of the trees like an arrow. Dior shrieked as the big lancer walloped into her, bearing her down into the frost. She cursed, flailing, wincing as her fist found the poor fellow's snout. Elena was on her then, dragging her back down as she tried to rise. The hound tore her coat, not her skin, well trained by the kennel boy of Avalane, sure and true. But her brother was less gentle, biting into her boot as she roared. "No, Matteo," came a distant shout. "Soft." Dior tried to tear herself free, rolling and kicking. Footsteps came then, running quicker than ever a man could, and awful, strong hands were suddenly lifting her by the collar. She glimpsed greasy red hair and ice-blue eyes, as the one called Shay slammed her into the trunk of a weeping willow, hard enough to make her gasp.
"Clever little."
Rank breath sprayed as her knee met his nethers, doubling Shay up with an agonized curse. She kneed him in the head as he buckled, turned to run, as more hands grabbed her, hounds barking, Joaquin pleading, "Hold! Hold, I don't want to hurt." Her elbow met his jaw, his lips split against his teeth. Not the graceful dance my brother had schooled her in, but gutter fighting from the alleys of La Chamée. Punching and kicking, spitting and biting, blood on her knuckles and in her mouth. But not hers. Not hers. Something hit her hard, heavy, her boot heel in the back of her skull. She grunted as she rolled off Joaquin, dogs barking as a weight pressed hard on her chest.
"Fucking so,"
Shay hissed, the curse wet and thick with blood. He punched her in the face, bleak night crashing into blinding day, thunder in her pulse and suns in her eyes. The blurry form of Joaquin rose at Shay's back. "Mistress said she wasn't to be
harmed," the big man snapped. "She broke my nose. I'll fucking gut this piglet."
The thrall's sword pressed a long, cruel knife up under Dior's chin.
"You hear me, you little rat quim? I'm going to carve you a new hole, then ponder which to fuck."
A gob of bloody spittle struck him in the face, Dior hissing through red teeth.
"Eat shit, you limp-dicked coward!"
Shay poured the spit off his lips, furious.
"No, that's gone and done it!"
He raised the blade, Dior writhing to free herself, overpowered yet defiant till the last. But it was the kennel boy who saved her. Joaquin planting a kick square between Shay's shoulder blades and knocking him into the frost, spit at his lips as he roared.
"Mistress said she wasn't to be harmed." "Your mistress, not mine,"
the man hissed, rolling to his feet.
"Lord Cain obeys me, lady, and so do you." "Who the fuck do you think you are?"
Shay demanded, pawing at his broken nose.
"Barely 2 weeks scorched and lecturing me? Chiara wouldn't have wasted a drop on you, say if she needed your fucking dogs for a damned hunt. That fool bitch insults and shames my master with every breath, but I'll be damned if I take like same from you."
Shay lunged. Joaquin tried to grab the arm that held the knife, Matteo crashing into the man's legs. Dior crawled back in the snow, blood spilling down her lips as the scorched and hounds fell into a tumble. A yelp rang in the night, and Matteo went flying, tumbling through the frost. The wet sound of metal sinking into flesh cut the air, a gasp, a whimper. And tossing the blood-soaked hair from his face, Shay rose up from the steaming snow. Joaquin lay on his back, red breath bubbling at his lips. Dior scrambled away from Shay, fingers clawing through the snow for a branch, a rock, anything. Shay raised his knife, blue eyes cold and cruel.
"Now, about that new hall."
A horrid sound rang in the dusk, a dozen green stick snaps, and the wet pop of bursting lungs. Shay stared stupidly at the fist that had burst from his chest, drenched red and clutching a fistful of steaming meat. The man had time enough to recognize his own still twitching heart before the fist closed, crushing the organ to paste. And then the hand was torn back out the gaping hole in his ribcage, and Shay himself was torn apart. His pieces flew like fireworks at a feast day, trailing not light and flame, but gore. Dior flinching as she was splashed with a great red gout. And where her attacker had stood, now stood Chiara Divock, drenched head to foot with his best, boots covered in his worst. Wiping red sludge from her eyes, the right hand of the Priori Divock knelt in front of the gasping girl, her voice soft as gravel.
"You run swift for a little mouse."
"What in Great Toliev's name?"
The wolf mother glanced over her shoulder as a furious headsman reached the clearing, looking about the carnage. Joaquin was on his back, stabbed thrice in the chest, the snow soaked red. Elena was at the kennel boy's side, whining and licking the blood from her master's fingers. Matteo lay on his belly, the hound bleeding from a wound in his neck.
"What happened here?"
Cain demanded.
"You slaughtered my man."
"I warned you to put a leash on that dog, cousin."
"He was my property,"
Cain spat, drawing himself up tall.
"Scorched by mine own hand. He served me well, a score of years, and now he's done for what? Bruising a Patian says neither of us can have a bite of. You've lost your fucking mind, Chiara."
"Mind your tongue, cousin." The wolf mother stood slow, turning to face the headsman, "or you'll lose far more." The younger vampire snarled, but he kept his rebuke behind gritted fangs. With a warning glance to Dior, Chiara walked to Joaquin's side, looming over the bleeding boy. He reached up with a blood-soaked hand, unable to speak, yet begging with his eyes. His chest was gushing, the frost soaked through with red. She might feed him from her wrist, heal the wound with her blood. But the wolf mother moved not an inch to help him.
"Hunt's over, poet," Chiara murmured. "Nae much use for a hound boy anymore."
Joaquin whimpered, eyes bright and wide. The angel of death raised his sickles, and the boy's bladder loosed for the terror of it. He looked to his beloved mistress, perhaps for one last measure of comfort, fingers trembling as he strained simply to touch her before he died. But Chiara Divock remained unmoved as Joaquin held out his hand. And so Dior Lachance took it. Jean-Francois's quill ceased scratching, one blonde eyebrow rising. The last Liathe breathed a sigh, studying her outstretched fingers. You will wonder why she did it, of course. Why she tore his tunic open, wiped the blood from her bleeding nose onto her palm, and pressed it to Joaquin's chest. Why she chose to save his life, when in truth she owed him nothing, and to show these monsters what she could do placed herself deeper in peril. Some would call her fool for it, no doubt. Some would call her noble. Some would call her young or soft-hearted, headstrong or thoughtless. But all would have some opinion to share. That is the way of things these nights, is it not? Folk who know nothing still insist on saying something.
And you, Mademoiselle Castille? Jean-Francois asked. What would you call her?
What I have always called her, little Marquis.
The monster's eyes twinkled in the dark.
The Holy Grail of Saint-Michon. Chiara and Cain Divock watched in mute amazement as Joaquin's wounds stitched closed, the touch of the Grail's holy blood hauling him back from the very edge of death. The boy's breath ceased to bubble, the pain in his eyes giving way to baffled wonder. Dior looked him over, helping him sit, one bloody hand still pressed to his chest.
Are you all right? She whispered.
The boy's mouth hung like a broken door, his face death pale.
How did you do that?
Dior looked up as Cain spoke, the headsman's cruel eyes gone wide.
Answer me!
The vampire demanded, grabbing her collar.
Dior flinched back, her red, sticky hand grabbing at the headsman's wrist, and as her blood touched his dead flesh, white fire bloomed, setting Cain's newly regrown hand aflame. The headsman roared in agony, toppling backward and flailing, kicking, finally plunging his burning fist into the snow and extinguishing the holy fire on his skin with a long, sharp hiss. Snarling, Cain lifted his now blackened claw from the steaming slush, eyes boiling with hate and fear, fixed on Dior.
You still think this peach worth bruising, cousin? The wolf mother murmured.
Chiara seized Dior by the scruff and hauled the yelping girl into the air. Dior clawed at her grip, but unlike her cousin, Chiara wore heavy hunter's gauntlets, the Grail's bloody hand doing nothing but staining the hardened leather. The wolf mother looked Dior over, the girl choking out every colourful insult my brother had taught her as she struggled to free herself. But her cursing turned to a pained gasp as Chiara squeezed hard enough to make her spine creak.
Be still now, little mouse.
Me?
Chiara squeezed again, her strength enough to grind stone to dust. Dior wailed at the agony of it, forcing herself to be still, muscles corded at her clenched jaw.
I care nae for the house of it, the vampire murmured. Nor the wise. But if you try to run again, I'll have my men put out your eyes, burn your toes off, carve their names in you while you scream. Oh, I'll leave you living, have nae fear. Our foes have a wanting of you, and thus so must we. But by time I'm done with you, he'll envy poor young Shay here.
The girl whimpered in that titanic grip, face red, teeth clenched.
At least tell me where you're taking me.
The wolf mother blinked, as if the answer were obvious.
We take you to the court of Nikita, the Blackheart, my own dread maker and priori of blood, Divock.
Dior's eyes widened at that,
goosebumps prickling her skin. She was in the clutches of horrors, helpless and small, and obviously terrified. Yet not by chance nor whimsy, but through Almighty God's own providence, it seemed she was also headed to the exact place in the Empire she most needed to be. The city where the truth of all she must do awaited in eventide. The resting place of Mother Marin herself.
"Dunmekin," she whispered.
In the shadows beneath Soladere, the historian dipped his quill, murmuring scripture to himself. "All on earth below and heaven above is the work of my hand." And across a black river, a monster smiled behind the cage on her teeth. "And all the work of my hand is in accord with my plan." Jean-Francois met Selene's eyes, a sudden chill upon his skin. "Does that frighten you, sinner?" she asked. "To see his will at work in the world, to witness his divine design unfold exactly as he intended? Because were I you, heartless, faithless, purposeless, it would terrify me." The historian arched one brow, expectant. "You are in danger of boring me, Mademoiselle Castille. Continue." Selene inclined her head, amusement sparkling in those black eyes. "Dior still hung in the wolf mother's grip, but after Chiara's revelation, her struggles had ceased. Satisfied, the vampire released her hold, let the poor girl hit the snow." "Let's be off then," the wolf mother grunted. "Time tarries near for the timeless." The wolf mother trudged back across the red clearing, absent-mindedly licking Shay's gore off her lips. She paused at the edge of the trees, looking back to Dior and slapping her thigh as if calling a hound. And with all desire to flee now vanished, the bruised and beaten girl wiped her bloody face with snow and dragged herself upright. "Joaquin," the wolf mother called. "On your feet, poet." Dior looked to the lad beside her. Joaquin was still sat in the frozen red, chest and hands drenched like same. Elena snuffled at his face, tail wagging. Poor Mateo was dead, pierced through the throat by Shay's knife, and the boy's eyes were fixed on the hounds, brimming with tears. But more than sorrowed, Joaquin simply looked bewildered.
"It's only a dog, boy," Chiara called again. "Come now."
"Joaquin?"
Dior asked softly. The kennel boy looked up at her, like a lad awakened from the dream of a roaring fireplace, only to find himself in the cold deep of night. But as Cain growled impatience, the boy came back to himself, sparing the headsman a frightened glance.
"Coming, mistress,"
he murmured. Joaquin pressed his lips to Mateo's brow, and rising, he ran after the wolf mother. Elena snuffled about Mateo's body, but at a call from Joaquin, the hound bounded off through the snow on his heels. Dior realized only the headsman remained now, watching her with dark, hungry eyes, his hand burned into a black claw by her blood. And with Chiara's threat hanging in the air above the greasy spatter that had been Shay, Dior ran after her, Cain following with a soft curse. Red drenched the snow behind them, Shay's blood mixed with Joaquin's and the Grail's, and as a cold wind blew through those dead trees, the latter began to tremble, to move. Droplets of her holy blood shivering as if the earth were quaking, running in thin rivulets across the frost, as if to return to the veins of their mistress. But the wind blew harder. The red ran cold, those lonely drops freezing now to ice. And all was still once more.